Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Bloodlines or Half Foot Podcast for the finale. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, I'm doing absolutely amazing. This episode was phenomenal from start to finish. I'm so hyped up. It's so incredible.
Is this opposite that?
Wait a minute. Didn't you watch Survivor?
Are we doing the Nodals?
Oh, wait, shit.
Can we take over?
What are we supposed to be talking about?
You're Fishback, right?
What are we here to talk about?
I think it's the challenge, I think. I don't know.
Oh, shit, that was horrible. Okay, I'm really down. I'm feeling horrible. Great night of television last night. Unfortunately, it wasn't on MTV.
Here's a fun fact. I was going to do the exact same thing to you.
You can't.
I'm not even kidding. I was going to do that.
You can't plan an opening bit when you open with hello.
I know. I was hoping you would just say something like regular, toss it back to me. So I'd be like, oh my God, I'm doing great because this show was amazing. And then no, you beat me to
it.
Do
I ever throw it back to you?
Never. Occasionally when you want to throw me off.
How are you doing, Brian? Do the same thing now.
Oh my God, I'm doing great. That was the best finale of all time. I wanted it to go for 4 hours.
What I'm giving me comfort here is that, like, normally I show up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired because I had work or whatever that people are like mad about. Honestly, if you watched television last night, even if you only watched the challenge, I feel like we're all in this together, High School Musical style. Everyone's exhausted. Everyone's emotionally spent. And so we're all as miserable as each other. So I feel like it's a really nice, even playing field.
Misery loves company, and the challenge sure brought everyone together.
All right, that's it. Good night, everyone. I think that's
Drop the mic.
That was like a pretty nice 2-minute synopsis of what occurred yesterday.
I always try to be like very optimistic about the show, even when it's like not that great. Like that finale was, not that I was going to turn it off, but I legitimately just like stopped like really focusing the last half of it. I just didn't care. I knew Kara was going to win. They made it so freaking obvious the entire time that she was going to win. I'm just like, get this over with. I don't need to watch people stand on a train platform. I've done that plenty of times. It's not fun to watch. It's awful.
Yeah, so look, we're here voluntarily. Like, this is our job. We'll get into it. There is stuff, I think, worth talking about. But yeah, this, I think, was universally disappointing. And that is upsetting. One thing I will say is usually we split up this podcast. I think everyone in the world who even doesn't watch the show can agree that this only requires one podcast to get through the whole reunion and final. And I think the shit they should have shown will remain the shit we should have talked about, and we're not going to broach that.
There was not much there either.
But yeah, I mean, we're just going to bang this out. One thing is, usually when we do a reunion recap, I listen to our first preview podcast and we laugh about how wrong we were. I did try to do that today. I listened to the first about 10 minutes. And Brian, your optimism about the season and even my expectation that we would hear a little bit more about what the format would be when the show started was just so nauseating and disappointing that I just couldn't get through it. So bottom line is we were wrong from the jump, expecting that the format was going to make sense. So
We were wide-eyed school kids, just optimistic about the world, and then we were shot down hard.
I will take credit for just being negative in general. I feel like I always take the negative road.
Yay for negativity.
I'm often slumming it on the low road, so in this case, I think it was to my benefit. So the final totals of the draft will show that I triumphed in my predictions.
You did. You triumphed there. Very, very, very hard. I hashtag Brian failed.
How much longer can we stall before we have to actually talk about what happened?
I don't know. I'm suited and booted. I'm ready to go. So whenever you want to get started.
I got that TJ Lavin retweet because I gave him credit for suited and booted. I was just testing to see how easy it was to get some response from TJ. Turns out if you tag him with something remotely positive, he'll give you some love or a muscle emoji.
You're really just like shooting down my high.
Any
little high I get. Oh, it's so easy to get the TJ retweet, Brian. Look, I could get one too.
Oh my God. I'm like emotional that you made my voice sound high and my voice is like a man. So that was like really special and emotional to me. But what I will say, so thank you.
You're welcome.
No. First of all, I shared in your like Jubilee hashtag The Bachelor about him A, sliding into your DMs, okay, and B, following mm-hmm. you back. I will never take that away from you. That's incredible. I just wanted to see, like, can I get a TJ retweet with just, like, something quality? And I stood by it. He came out and dropped so much knowledge. Franz is his associate. So mm-hmm. upgrade or downgrade, depending on if you prefer friends to associates.
Based on his performance.
As a tailor, his tailor. Mode.
Yeah, as a tailor.
And suited and boot, like, he just showed up and was just, whoever the writers have been for him this season, top notch.
I think that's just a phrase he uses in life. I think he just uses suited and booted, just as we would use any other phrase. This is just what he says.
In what context is TJ Lavin and friends wearing a suit? Are they wearing a suit? That he would have a catchphrase of suited and booted.
TJ gets pretty spiffy every once in a while.
He, like, throws on a button down with rolled up cups, like, and his suited and booted. Like, no trucker hat is like a nice dress TJ Lavin.
One of these days, TJ just needs to be nominated for an Emmy so we can just see him suited and booted at the Emmys.
Look, I don't want to be the crusher of your James Bryan because I get in trouble for that. So let's just move on. all right. So he delivers like a James Bond-esque message of like, you're going to get suited and booted. I'm going to give you this suitcase that's like filled with crackers, Kramer style. And this is very important. Like, don't fuck this up. Like, you're going to take a train and there's only one train that you will take a limo to organize together and have no chance of missing, right, and drop this suitcase off. Never to no one. It never paid off. And this is going to be stages 2 through 5, inexplicably.
I mean, it's just, the whole thing's a mess. Like, every step of the way, it's a whole mess.
All right, well.
Giant
mess. I
brought
my mop, so let's clean this up. All right.
I'll say this, this was totally off topic, but this is the most random thought I've had. There was a confession where Jenna was describing how Brianna looked in a suit. And were the producers implying that Jenna was, like, hitting on her? Did you pick up on this?
First of all, without asking for more information, no, there's no way that I saw whatever scene you're talking about and interpreted it the same way. B, could you give more information?
Okay, she was asked about wearing the suit. She's like, oh, I don't look good, but Brianna, she looks pretty good. She looks pretty cute. And she's like, oh, ew, no. And I'm like, did Bruce just ask if she like liked her? It was the most bizarre confessional of the entire season. It was in like first 5 minutes. So if you want to go back and quickly watch it, people, go watch the first 5 minutes.
I thought you were talking to me, and I was like, you know, this is already deleted from my DVR. yeah, I mean, I think Brianna's ew reaction was probably like, ew, no, I look terrible. Not, ew, you're giving me a compliment. But
no, it was just Jen in the confessional. That's the thing. It was just her. And she was just talking about Brianna's like, oh, no, she looked pretty cute. And she was like, ew, no, not like that.
Oh, well, I feel like Jenna, we've seen a couple times this episode, like, self-judge when she was saying, like, for example, I have no gag reflex. Like, oh, like, I didn't mean like that. Like, that I could swallow these big sausages. Like, oh, I just realized what I was saying. That said, I feel like I've really entertained this as a serious conversation for too long.
How about Mitch never having a suit? That's fully believable,
right? I mean,
look,
he just graduated college. Like, not a lot of people, you know, not everyone needs a suit.
But he's a frat boy. Don't they have formals and stuff that he would have needed a suit for?
Brian, tell me about your life. Are you in a fraternity?
I was not, but I hear stories.
I have seen people in fraternities, both in movies and in real life.
Yeah, I watch TV and movies. That's the real life,
right? Tell me more. Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, kid never needed a suit. He showed up in a sweatshirt at the freaking reunion, so.
An Under Armour shirt. Yeah, maybe he got sponsored.
By me. UR stands for You Are Really Allie sponsoring the sweatshirt.
There you go.
Okay. Ugh. So.
Dinner time.
Say dinner time? I'm starving right now. So. Who said dinner? Where? What?
Food?
Go
have some blood soup.
I mean, I would take it. So yeah, that's what's always hilarious is like on all these gross food challenges and Survivor and here, like, they're the common delicacies of the culture. And everyone's like, oh, it's disgusting. And like people eat this for joy, for pleasure, I guess.
There's no way this is a common delicacy. I just can't buy it.
Well, I've heard of blood sausage. That's like a very common thing.
And I haven't heard of that either. Maybe I'm just not cultured enough. I don't
know. I actually did a little Googling about I Googled about these topics. No, I Googled like what all of these foods were, because MTV did not tell us. Like, at least on Survivor, they're like, this is a balut, and this is what it is. You know, like, we don't get any information about what these items are. So they're eating the blood soup, and I genuinely thought that Jenna may have thought this was human blood. Because she was like, I didn't know, like, you could make something with blood.
I'll believe anything with the thought of Jenna believed that.
Jenna believed this was an amazing podcast. So
I believe.
Blood soup, according to Wikipedia, is any soup that uses blood as a principal ingredient. Blood?
Mwahaha.
So that was not a vampire impression. That was a YouTube video of like a 1-year-old kid freaking out about blood. I'll send it to you on Twitter.
I was going the vampire route, but to each their own.
You know what you did? You took the like improv principle of yes and, which is just like going with anything at all costs, which I need to do more. So like what a good person would have done, yes, which and. Is.
How do you feel about that?
So the other thing they were eating was Weisswurst, which just looked like white sausage to me. And as someone who doesn't eat sausage, I wanted to know more. I was like, is this disgusting? Like, is this like made of intestines? It's just a sausage made from minced veal and pork back bacon, which I don't eat bacon, but I hear it's delicious. And then it says it's usually flavored with parsley, lemon, onions, ginger, and cardamom, although there are some variations.
That sounds like a good thing to eat.
I think this is why Jamie like went to town on it. He was like, oh, it's the best thing I've had in months.
Good for you. Killed it.
And then speck, as they said, was like pig lard, which is like a sheet of lard. That sounds pretty disgusting. So good for Jamie, who plowed through this like he didn't know where his next meal was coming from.
I think these food challenges in the final of Jump the Shark, though. I think I'm over
it. Oh, look at that terminology. Yeah. You're so industry.
Oh, yeah. It's just too much. Like, it was all puking. There was nothing that was entertaining about it anymore. They need to move on, or they need to mix it up. Like, it can't just be these straight just eating stuff. They needed to like incorporate something new with it.
Or I think like, what was the one where they had to eat like a tube of like caviar paste or something like that, and then like do it? I think it needs to be something like the seesaw challenge, where it's like you get it in or you have to drink this, and then you get it in. So there's like at least more activity going on, and you can edit the three competitors together, so you don't just like watch everyone eating and puking and eating and puking. I'll agree with you. Like, I think they need to add more interest than just like you're eating it.
I even thought just having, I think they did this for an elimination last year. They did it with like super easy food, but like do the like the betting thing, like, oh, I bet I can eat 10 of that. I think I can have 15 of that. I can have 20 for that. And then if like you do it, like you get time off, or if you don't do it, you get time added, like something like that.
See, now we're going with like, we're accepting that this time thing is just going to be okay with the finals from now on. But no, I agree. Like, or at least it should be a challenge, like forget the final. It should just be a challenge or elimination. Where just like Survivor, like two people come up, one person from each team who can eat this the fastest and walk away.
Yeah, but just straight eating and watching people puke for 15 minutes was not how I wanted to spend.
Especially coming off of the puke from the last episode. I mean, it's like pick an episode. Who's gonna, like, how much are we going to have to watch puke? I feel like I was fine with it in the seesaw, and some people were getting squeamish. And then once we double down on the puke sequence, I'm like, all right, forget it.
Yeah. No, this was the first of many missteps.
Okay, so there was a lot of confusion both on Twitter and in my head. So did Jamie finish his food and they were done? Or he finished, like, was it the amount of plates of food between the two of you so you could eat your fill and then be done?
Yeah. I think he ate Cara's food.
Okay, because I just felt like a lot of stuff in this final was not very well explained. And I think that makes sense based on the fact that a couple people, Jen and Brianna, were tweeting about how things were so different than what was said on the show. And I think that's why like things weren't explained, because the rules were different than what they heard.
Yeah, and which is another stupid rule. You shouldn't be able to eat each other's food. That's why you're a team.
So Jenna said, I'm just saying me and Brianna finished the drink and ate as much as Cara Maria did. And Cara tweeted, you drank 2 pints. I drank like 10. I ate more myself than Corey or Mitch. I watched and made sure I was ahead of them. Facts, though. And Jenna tweeted, all I was saying was we finished the soup and all got up to eat the sausages. LOL. That's all. And then Kara tweeted, "You guys literally killed it all season and earned your spot, especially not quitting when faced with fears. No taking that away." So I guess like Kara is just in defensive mode. And Jenna was like, "Kara didn't do better than us."
Yeah, she's been in defensive mode for a while. She was like the one of the, like, looking back on it, her like run on Twitter has been super weird for this season, knowing that she won. Like she was very defensive, very absent. She was not a good, like, supporter of the show, knowing that she was going
to
win.
Okay, we'll get to it later towards the reunion, but I don't think that's her fault at all. I think, like, with every reunion after show and the edit, like, she's had no choice but to be defensive, just in terms of, like, there's been zero focus on her winning and 100% focus on drama. So I don't blame her for feeling like she has to be defensive. I mean, hell, I'd be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the other point of discrepancy was, for every unfinished plate, TJ said there would be a 5-minute penalty. And Brianna, I'm not going to pull it up, but Brianna tweeted that she was told it would be a 20-minute penalty.
Oh, shit.
And so they thought they were, like, hours behind. And, or I'll put, I think it was 20 minutes. I will. I was so proud. I was like, I'm not pulling this up. But as we get through, it like makes more and more sense why like Corey and Mitch were like, we're definitely in second place, at least maybe first. Because I guess they were operating under the assumption that it was a 20-minute penalty, but maybe based on like how things shook out, they made it closer. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand that kind of rule change.
Right. I mean, well, it could have made sense that they were in second, but they couldn't have been in first. Because didn't they not beat Kara until the last challenge?
Yeah, I don't know. You mean Corey and Mitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, a lot of things were pretty shady in terms of the setup for this final. I mean, like, how it actually went down. But even, like, I guess when they post the times, they don't want to say, like, how behind Jenna and Brianna really were. Because if they were behind with just it becoming 5-minute penalties, imagine if it was a 20-minute penalty for Blake.
Yeah, that's very true. That's so weird that they not weird because it's a typical challenge, but not good that they didn't say the exact penalty.
So she wrote, "With only a 30-minute penalty, they told us it was 20 minutes per course, whatever that meant. Grr, I thought our penalty was like over an hour." So there's
I mean, it doesn't really affect like their overall performance. It doesn't change like how they do. It just changes, I guess, how close they would have made it or whatever. But I mean, it's not like it affected like how they did in the later challenges.
Yeah, no, I mean, you could say that, like, mentally you thought you were just, like, so behind that you just were like, let's just finish. But I don't think that's, you know, valid. Like, you could argue it, but I don't think that would have, like, made a difference.
Mm-hmm. There were a lot of excuse making throughout this final, on all accounts.
So let's dig a little deeper. Let's get more into it. I still got confused with where the stages broke down. I'm just not going to call it stage. I feel like it's episode one and episode two.
Right. Yeah. Was the food technically stage two? Was that technically a stage?
I thought they were saying the beginning of stage two. But I think you're right. I think it was the food was stage two. The trains was stage three. The puzzle was stage four. And the running was stage five, which is.
Wait, what was the canoe then?
Oh, I'm sorry. The puzzle and the running were one stage. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, YOLO. The thing is when Jenna says like, oh, I have no gag reflex, like you may have had a different reaction than I had, but my reaction was like, if you have no gag reflex, why the hell are you quitting last year's challenge and screwing up this year's challenge if you could just swallow everything blindly?
Sure, that was my exact reaction as well. No, but I mean, I guess it's like she's mind over matter for that stuff though, right? That's really what it is. Like, she just gets in her head with that stuff.
I'm just going to be quiet and force you to keep riffing on the subject of her having no gag reflex.
I thought for a second that we crapped out, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to do the first 20 minutes all over again, or however long we've been going. But thank God, yeah, you're still here.
Tell me more. All right, so as it shakes out for the TV audience, Jen and Brianna leave with a 30-minute time penalty, and Corey and Mitch leave with a 10-minute time penalty, which... If Corey and Mitch really showed up an hour later in the first stage, that's, like, not that big of a deal. Like, Jen and Brianna, like, made a nice cushion for themselves.
Yeah, they should still be sitting pretty for second. Even they might even still be in the lead.
Now they have to rush to the... Quick, let's run to the train. You better not miss that train.
Why did they have to trick them? Why couldn't it just be like, you guys are going to stand here for 10 hours?
I mean, what was bullshit is, like, there was a lot of hubbub last week about, like, the train police coming and saying you have to get out of here. The first shot we get when they go down into the subway is big graffiti of the challenge with multiple posters of TJ Lavin. Did you see that? I went back three times.
I didn't catch that, no.
I saw this big thing that go across, and I was like, that looks like it said challenge. I had to go back three times to see it finally freeze on it because I kept getting distracted. And it just said challenge in big black letters. And then, like, every other section, a couple, like, four times, had a poster of TJ Lavin. And I'm like, and I'm supposed to believe that the train police in their neon orange vests came down and were like, get out of here, I'm German.
But here's the thing. This is why, like, I don't fully believe that they were kicked out. But, like, if they really were part of the show, why were their faces blurred out?
For the patsies like you to still think that they didn't have some sort of permission to be down there. They put up pictures. They wallpapered the walls with TJ Lavin's image.
I know. I think they were allowed to be there. But, like, part of me kind of thinks that they're, like, they overstayed their welcome.
How did they get permission to go across the tracks to post these images and graffiti the walls, and yet they, like, overstayed their welcome by 15 minutes on a 12-hour stay?
The blurred faces got in my head. They're in my head. They're doing tricks. I couldn't wrap my head around that.
First of all, it's so easy for them to be like, let's blur these images so it looks like we couldn't get their permission, so it looks like they're legit.
But is the channel that smart to do that?
Yeah, these are, like, very, very professional edited shows. Like, we always talk about the production value of the show is incredible. Like, there's no doubt about that. Is the challenge that smart? It's been on 100 seasons. Of course it's that smart.
That might be a good opening question to slide into TJ's DMs. Asking if he was actually, if they were actually kicked out.
He would immediately be like, oh, I have to unfollow your dumbass for thinking that that was anything but planted. You think MTV or a reputable production company films in a place that they're not supposed to film? It takes, like, I feel like it takes nothing to get permission to film in, what, an abandoned subway station? Like, please.
It's the blurred faces, man. It's the blurred faces.
And then the other thing is, they may have said, like, could we get some, like, hey, could you guys come down and tell us, like, we have to go in German? And then they just didn't sign the release, but, like, they were real people, and they were just like, hey, come down and, like, yell at us a little bit.
It's possible. It's probably very likely. I said it wasn't likely, but it's a possibility.
Oh my God, please, guys, abuse Brian over this over Twitter. This is the dumbest conversation we've ever had. Not saying Brian is dumb. This conversation is dumb.
You would never say that.
See how it's different? I would never say you're dumb. I don't know you personally. You don't know
my life. Oh boy.
I was thinking actually earlier today that, like, we've never had, like, a real conversation, you know? We talk once a week since 2014 or whatever year we started
about the podcast.
But I don't know what it would be like if we had ever real conversation. Even when we've met up, like, we don't talk about anything else besides reality television.
What else is there?
All right,
so
let's keep it that way. So this challenge, I think we both agree, was pretty.
This is what Jamie tried to do.
Did only one half of the teams actually try to sleep, or was that just, like, poor editing?
It seemed like only Jamie and Brianna tried to sleep, right? That was the only people they showed.
Did no, Mitch was
sleep?
Also
well, Mitch
can
sleep through anything, as we saw, but did they not switch at any point? Who knows?
I'm sure they switched, but, I mean, they were just intent on keeping this so boring as possible that they were like, let's not even show any intrigue of switching.
I'm glad they did kind of yada yada this one, so that was at least decent.
I didn't feel like they yada yada. I felt like I was watching them, like, bitch and moan about this for way too long. I thought it was similar to the campfire on.
Was that Free Agents?
God, what the hell was that? X's. It was X's. It was similar in the sense that, like, you had to either be near the fire or, like, freezing your ass off on a bench. I don't know why. I just felt like, and we'll talk about it compared to other seasons, but I felt like this just seemed, like, so disjointed and so much longer than that. Like, at least I remember as the contestants came, like, all settled into the fire, like, there was interesting conversation happening. Like, I think Sarah and Jordan had an interesting conversation there. But this was just like, oh, like, this is so hard. Like, I can't believe I had to watch this for as long.
I think
this
was just the people sucked. I think that's just the biggest thing.
We'll get into that too, but I don't agree with that. I think this challenge with this whole final start to finish with any cast of characters would have been abysmal.
I won't. I'm not going to find my way on the stance of defending this final. So,
well, you did. You said it was the people. So I'm saying
it was everything. It was everything, though.
Okay. So, question about the suitcases: were they supposed to be weighted? Were they weighted equally? Like, was there supposed to be something about being tempted to put it on the ground here?
I guess they were told they weren't allowed to put it on the ground, but it seemed like it was just a suitcase, right? There's nothing really in it.
There was certainly no attention called to it. My attention was on Mitch Watch here, crucial Mitch Watch moment, because he ties his Franz tailored suit coat around his waist like an Olsen twin circa 1995. And I felt like that was extremely important to me that he had that instinct. Mitch is the only thing interesting about my life.
Oh, Mitch.
So TJ ultimately shows up and says, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, the train was canceled. And Anna Jose tweeted at us, how much would you pay to have TJ read out your morning traffic? Quote, I guess the train got canceled.
You had me at how much would you pay TJ to read to me? So, anything.
Okay, more to Anna Jose's point. as an NJ Transit rider myself, like, this situation was all too familiar. So,
yeah.
I mean, TJ.
Staring down the darkness of a subway tunnel is one of the worst experiences you can go through.
And I think this whole segment here was admittedly a fail even by MTV, because we get the no time penalties flash across the bottom. I think you failed if you don't get anyone to get a penalty here.
So, like, how would they have gotten a penalty? If they sat down or if they got out of the circle?
No, it was like a 5-minute penalty every time your suitcase touched the ground.
Oh, so that was a rule you couldn't. I didn't even hear that.
Okay. Yeah. That, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wait.
The one thing I will say is, like, the more times TJ repeated that the train must have been canceled, like, the funnier this got. And I don't know if it's because I was desperate to laugh or if it was legitimately funny.
Just bringing up the monotony.
The first time he said it, I was like, eye roll. And then when he's, like, back at the next stage, he's like, yeah, guys, like, sorry about that. Like, the train is canceled. I was like, you suck.
Oh, TJ. Good performance from him. He had a good final.
Yeah, I mean, like, he only had to show up every, like, 20 seconds.
Yeah, well, he was the highlight.
Sure, but that's like saying, like, you know, to rip off a Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog sketch I watched today at work, that's like saying you're the smartest Kardashian. Like, you're the highlight of this final. So there's a plug to Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog.
And to the Kardashians, because they need the plug.
Very, very specific reference. If anyone who gets, I will offer my once a season. If you've seen that video and can tweet at me at Lash Tweets that you know what I'm talking about and demonstrate it, I will follow you. Wow. And ask everyone else who did it. I don't unfollow you. I maintain that follow. So if you're trying to build your followers by one irrelevant person, this is how you do it. So TJ has a great performance. He's like, sorry, the train was canceled. Now let's canoe 10 miles.
This is probably one of the tougher parts of the final, you'd have to think, right? 10 miles seems like a really far, far canoe ride. Canoeing is really difficult.
Have you canoed?
Yes, it's very hard.
When have you canoed?
I do things. I explore life.
I'm not doubting that you've canoed. I want to hear more about your exploration of life.
I did it for like I think it was out in the water for like 30 minutes to an hour. By the end of it, you're like dead.
Oh, were you in rapids? Or were you in
I was in calm seas. Please, I'm going out in rapids.
Were you by yourself or did you have a double canoe? A dual canoe?
It's easier to do in a single, so I was in a single.
Is it easier to do in a single?
Yeah. Because otherwise you both need to, like, be doing the same thing at the same time, or you're, like, just be spinning in circles.
I've canoed a couple times. Most notably, I was in Alaska, and I was, like, under 13, and my dad was sitting anchor in the canoe, and he was more concerned with videotaping the bald eagles and was like, paddle to the left! And I was just dragging me and an adult man through the water. So my life is as hard as this final.
Obviously.
So I was looking for a similar anecdote from you. Where have you canoed? I wasn't being mean.
I was trying to
get to know you, Brian.
Mine was just, let's keep it professional here.
It's professional. It's an anecdote. We're podcasters. We're not businessmen.
Out in Long Island waters, over there, in those areas, and we were a group of friends, and we all canoed.
Was it a date, Brian? Was it romantic?
It was not a romantic date.
Sounds pretty romantic. You canoeing in Long Island, my God.
Right on. Now we went to Red Lobster.
Whoa. Oh, well. All right. Moving swiftly on, because now I'm uncomfortable. This is the part of the canoeing situation where I felt, okay, the final is always intense and physically demanding. This is clearly intense and physically demanding of a final. But it just kind of, I felt like torture for torture's sake. Like, it wasn't interesting. There was nothing to achieve. It was like, here, choke on this beer. Now choke on this food. Now stand here like an asshole. Now paddle till your arms fall out. Now run. Like, it wasn't, there was no levels. There was no surmount this mountain, you can do it. There was nothing grand or interesting. No story to tell. It was just like, how we're really gonna fuck with you this time,
right? Because it's like, the problem was, like you said, about like the volcano or a mountain, like whatever they've done before. Like, I like the concept of doing the final through the city, but there was no like end game. It should have been like, all right, you're gonna start here and we're gonna race. Like, they said, we're racing to like the center of Olympic Stadium. And, like, that's the goal, and you have to get there through doing all these different methods of transportation. Now it's like, all right, there's at least like a plan, there's a setup. It was just like, all right, you're going to run around this concourse. You're going to stand on this train. You're going to drive you around. There was no plan. It was just, that was like the whole season. It was just all discombobulated.
No, it was like, exactly. It was like, if you want to do something like The Amazing Race, then do something like The Amazing Race, where you, once you get to the end, TJ is like, you are the second team to arrive. Congratulations. Or whatever. Like, make it a continuous thing. Like, this just had, I mean, as we said before, had no momentum, and it just didn't feel like exciting. Like, I remember even the last final, like, I was interested, I was excited. Free Agents, I think I was like the most heart palpitations, but it was just like, make me interested in it. This was just like, every time they stopped to get in their limo or stopped to wait for Brianna and Jenna to finish the canoe, I was just like, oh, is it over yet?
Yeah, the limo rides were a big dud.
Here is when I think you made like this bizarre Cinderella reference, but is this when you meant that Jenna and Brianna were falling out of it?
Yeah, I don't understand. How did you not understand that joke?
I understood that it was a Cinderella. Like, for everyone who's listening,
like, what did you mean? What did I mean?
People liked it. Brian tweeted, like, well, you tell them what you tweeted.
I tweeted that sound you hear, that's the clock striking midnight on Jenna and Brianna when they were sucking in the canoes.
Yeah, and I were like, what does this mean? As in, like, when were they not out of this? Like, it just, like, so bizarre. It wasn't like, you know, they had this, like, magical spell cast upon this challenge, and, like, all of a sudden they're screwed. Like,
that's exactly what it was. They were on this magical journey. No one knows how they're here. They're doing so well in the final, and now it's over. They're done. They turn back to pumpkins.
All right, well, I don't agree that no one knew why they're here, but anyway, the three or four people who liked it, like, that, you get me, I love you, and like everyone else can say it.
I think people will like anytime you call me out on Twitter, so it doesn't make sense.
That's not true. I barely ever, I think this is the first time I've ever criticized your tweets.
I just thought I was so baffled that you didn't understand the reference. I was like, did she not know what Cinderella is?
All right, we'll work this out in therapy together the next 3 months before the next challenge, but for now.
So we're going to go from not talking at all in personal life to actually go to therapy together. That's a big move.
Oh my God, Brian, are you saying you're never going to talk to me?
That's what you said to me before we went live.
We weren't recording. Look, Brian's so mean. You know, I said that, but I was just kidding. All right, so Jen and Brianna suck. This is what bothered me, is like, as Jen and Brianna finally get through, we have Corey clapping it up as Jen and Brianna come in. Like, this is why I wish Corey and Mitch were on to the next thing. Like, I swear to God, if I had just dealt with, like, a personal hell, like, it seems like Jenna and Brianna had, and I see some dude clapping it up sarcastically as I row in, I would take that oar and just smack him upside the head with it.
I don't even think he was being sarcastic, though, because he did the same thing in the last segment when they were done with the 2 mile run.
Well, that was more Mitch led that, and so I'm not going to complain about that.
Like, I wish they hated each other more. Like, the sportsmanship is annoying.
That was
they should be rooting against each other.
Honestly, as I get to the, like, when we get to that, like, I didn't love that either. Like, the last thing you want are people who have already finished being like, a good job, good job. It's like, for anyone who watched Survivor, and I know people aren't watching, whoever got voted out, no spoilers, when they leave, somebody's like, good job. That is the last thing you want to hear from someone who beat you.
Infuriating.
It's like,
infuriating.
Well done. Well done. Like, sit down and be quiet.
Good try is maybe the most condescending phrase in the entire English language.
Note to self, tell Brian good try.
It just hits you like your core. You just want to, it's the worst.
The other thing is, like, where were Brianna and Jenna stage one, like, clapping it up for Corey's sorry ass, dragging his bum knee and vomit
they did.
Face?
I remember one time they passed each other going back and forth, and they gave each other, like, high fives.
When you're still in the challenge, still sucks, but different. I'm talking about when you've been sitting down on the grass, waiting for their tired asses to finish, and then you're just like, good job, guys! Third place is so good! Like, that would piss me off, and that's what Corey did. And I'm like, remember when you barely dragged your ass across the finish multiple times? Yeah, I remember. I'm a viewer. I remember. But I like Corey, so it's like, it's conflicting.
Tough life.
Alright, so then...
Stage 5?
See, Klinger. I have stage 3 on my notes with question marks. Like, to me, this was the third stage. I don't know why they called this 5 stages.
Whatever you want to call it, the puzzle run stage.
Solve a puzzle, run 2 miles, that's it. What is happening? Seriously. Those are my notes.
When he said you're gonna run on the track 8 times, I thought, oh my god, is this like a 2 mile track? What's happening here? And it's like, no, they're just running 2 miles. That's the end of the challenge final. Running 2 miles.
Are you a runner, Brian?
I am not, but
I didn't mean that judgmental. If you asked me to run 2 feet, I'd be like, I'm going to bed.
I could push myself to run 2 miles.
That is amazing. Honestly, the thing I think we have to keep in perspective, although it's hurting every part of my being to not be like, they suck, this sucks, is like they've been awake for over 24 hours. They've been standing for most of it. They've already, like, we're a week out from the first stage. And they've, like, done stage 1, which was exhausting, thrown up everything they've possibly eaten, you know, and now they're going to run. So, like, no. Did it seem like that demanding from our perspective? No. Do I want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they were miserable? Maybe.
The biggest complaint, though, was just, like, aesthetically. Like, 100%. There's nothing more boring than watching people run around a track. Like, if you want them to only run 2 miles... set up the damn puzzle 2 miles away and have them run through the streets and have them finish running through the gates of Olympic Stadium.
100% agree with you. My reaction to, like, seeing stage 5, which, again, had no payout of the briefcase and the suits, like, so bizarre. I was like, all right, if they had just beefed up stage 1, maybe added a little bit of eating, a little bit of canoeing, like, call it a wrap. You know, like, that's it. Like, not, like, shuttle them from stage to stage of, like, these half-assed things that ultimately will tire them out and exhaust them, but offer no payout to the audience.
Nothing. Yeah, it's the set. Like, I know this may dissuade, is that a phrase? I don't know.
Dissuade
them from doing, like, a final through a city again. I don't want it, because I like the concept of doing it through a city. Just, like, execute it, like, a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care where the final is. I mean, the bottom line is like, I agree with you, like, that it can be done, right? It can be done.
Easily
the whole
can
show
be done.
Like, is made about it for 100 seasons, and it's an Emmy Award-winning show. It's called The Amazing Race, like, blah, blah. People may have heard about it. But this was not it. This was neither amazing nor a race.
Because they tried to do, like, half and half. They tried to do normal things they would do in a challenge final, which was, like, part one. And then... they tried to do, like, going through the city stuff, which was like this, and it was horrible.
The other thing is, so when we get to the puzzle, to our knowledge, they don't tell them what the numbers have to equal. It's a puzzle where there's pieces 1 through 9, and every diagonal, horizontal, and vertical has to equal the same number. And part of the puzzle is they have to figure out what number it is. So a couple people were tweeting, like, I've done this puzzle before, so, like, you know, it's 15. Yeah, but Joe Sag on Twitter tweeted, isn't this, like, a repeat from Free Agents, where, like, CT and Bananas went at it, And so I went back, and it is the third puzzle from Puzzle Pyramid in Free Agents. I mean, wow. The only clip I could find was like a quick clip of like Laurel doing it, but it was like a 9-piece puzzle of numbers. Mm-hmm. So it appeared to be the same puzzle, and they told them then that it was 15. And so it's like, A, if you've ever done this puzzle before, you know it's 15. B, if either you were on Free Agents or you saw Free Agents, you should know it. So I don't know why they didn't just tell them it had to be 15.
I mean, I guess it gets a little more interesting not telling them 15, but it just, like, I mean, I don't know. This puzzle doesn't offer much to me.
The interesting thing about this segment, which basically, again, is like saying it's the smartest of the Kardashians, the most interesting thing about the least interesting bit was like Mitch is like walking on air during this. Like when he's running around, he is like the most motivating,
full,
like
full of energy.
He's Oprah on the Weight Watchers commercials. Like he is like killing it. And I want to argue that like he is, I think, has been the more valuable partner in the pair between him and Mitch, and like between him and Corey. And I would prefer Mitch as my personal trainer in terms of motivation than Corey.
It's hard to disagree. I mean, Mitch, I mean, he did all the puzzles and he killed all those. Corey, it's not like Corey was some physical beast. I mean, Mitch was the one who won the elimination. Corey died almost during that one, the mini final. They both struggled mightily during like the first part of the final. So I don't see how you could say they're anything more than just equal, like our best equal or worst equal, whatever it is.
I think when we go back, like I think somebody said this, suggested this in a question a couple episodes, and I was like, whoa, let's not forget, like Mitch apparently sucked in the individual challenge, or I mean in the team challenges leading up to this.
Yeah,
I would say at least like they're a good team. Like they were the perfect balance. Exactly. They were the perfect balance for each other, especially in this season.
Mm-hmm. I'll say the one thing that really bugged me about this puzzle part segment. I'm so tired of Kara with the complaining about, oh, this only could be physical. I'm tired of the carnival games. If only there's a puzzle, I just want to do something physical. Like, get over it. Like, this is the challenge. It's not all physical. There's mental stuff too. There's weird stuff. There's plenty of other stuff. Like, I can't take the complaining.
Ryan, can I tell you something?
Sure.
Banana said that on the reunion.
Okay.
So, no, exactly. I totally agree with you. But, yeah, we got a little soundbite of Bananas, like, when Kara, like, says, I sent you home, like, when she snaps. Bananas is like, yeah, on a puzzle.
Good. Then it's to him, too. It's all of it. This is the challenge. The puzzle is part, like, and when people say, like, oh, I'm not a puzzle person, like, usually that means you're not, like, that smart of a person. So, like, for Kara, she's staring at this number thing. She's looking at hieroglyphics.
Again, we've talked about this in the last, like, puzzle-related situation. It's, like, a lot of it's, like, what you tell yourself. You tell yourself you're shitty at puzzles. Like, Kara didn't even try. And I know she was, like, spent, but Jamie was like, Kara, do you have any idea? And she's like, I see nothing. Sorry. I'm asleep.
I mean...
But I agree with you. The complaining was bullshit. The complaining is bullshit.
One of the more underwhelming winners, for sure.
All right. Well, let's not jump ahead.
I'm jumping ahead.
How can you say that Kara is an underwhelming winner? Let's just jump into it. We write the rules here.
I mean, even her finals performance, like she wanted to do the whole physical thing. They lost the most physical part of the final.
Canoeing?
The first part of the final was definitely, I think, the most physical part. Because by the end of it, that like drained them all for the rest of it.
Yeah, but then we talk about whether or not the weighted bags and having a male on your team affected that. In which case, the canoeing made up for it, potentially. And so, you know, I mean, I don't think you can isolate the portions of the final only because they were meant to be viewed as one. I mean, you could do whatever you want. I don't know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't know that it works to say, like, oh, the most physical portion of the challenge, because clearly they weighted the bags that way to then, like, maybe they were factoring in the running or the canoeing, which would not be weighted.
I understand that, but just I'm talking from a total season perspective. Like neither of them were like that great throughout. Like there was no, they didn't like
you that.
Like
Jamie not only they won.
Yeah, like they, I don't think they ever, they never won a pair of challenge, did they? I don't think so.
Well, how many pair of challenges were there? Like three?
I think there were four.
No, I mean, they were, they sent home bananas. They won the final. Like, I just, I don't know that I would say, look, I think a lot of things that happened this season worked against Kara in terms of like overshadowing this win for her. And it seems to be a pattern that if you beat bananas, your win will be overshadowed by some technicality. But I don't know. I just, I don't feel like Kara is an underwhelming winner. Like, I think Kara is just such a beast. You can see it in her body. You can see it in her fight. Yes, she's annoying. Yes, she complained, yada, yada, yada. But Jamie and Kara were an undeniably strong team, I think, from the beginning. But you're right. Maybe they didn't win a pair challenge. I don't honestly have like blacked out half the season, but
that's very fair. I'll be, when we're done with this, I'm erasing this from my brain, like putting in a pen sieve.
It's never over. I'm a murderer. Okay. So, all right. So Corey and Mitch, you know, finish the puzzle, get their run on. They're done with their 2-mile strenuous run. Before anyone else starts. And this is where it's like absolute torture to have no idea any concept of time.
Any concept.
And yeah, even when they announce the winners, no resolution of the time. The one thing.
How do they not say the time? It's unbelievable.
One thing is Wikipedia usually writes the time. Like I remember I was looking back at last season.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I remember for free agents they did. They put the time.
So too. I'm going to look right now, actually. But eventually we will have closure, hopefully, of Wikipedia. If somebody decides to make it up on Wikipedia, we'll have pretend closure.
That's fine. I'll take made up times too. Just give me to pretend it's something. Like tell me, oh, you won by 10 minutes. You won by a half hour. You won by an
exactly.
hour.
Exactly. Have the decency to lie to me. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I feel like there's a Seinfeld joke in there.
It's just that's a Lasher original, man. all right, so basically nothing happens. Jenna and Brianna can't do the puzzle. Time expires. We have no idea how much time that is, but we're reassured that TJ did the math, everyone, and he's ready to announce and give out the medals.
What did you think of the yearbook flashbacks when they were all running the 2 miles?
Filler and worthless. What'd you think?
It was awful. And the fact that you could tell how bad this final was because they had four different flashback segments during a new episode. That's how little there was the show.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like distracted by the fact that they had this like bullshit fake medal ceremony that was like depressing as hell.
I was hoping, I was waiting for it to be like Mario Kart with like little like things that would pop up and like spin them around and then they had balloons falling down.
I used to know that.
Yeah, that
theme. All right. So shockingly or not, although MTV, the challenge kept posting these like 2-minute polls on Twitter and like it was pretty much split up like, you know, with room for error, like a third, a third, a third. So the audience, the general audience who votes on this was pretty split. But yeah, so Kara and Jamie win, Corey and Mitch come in second, which was really disappointing to me. I wanted Jen and Brianna to come in second.
So was I. Maybe this didn't happen for you because I assume you were watching live. I was watching a little bit on the DVR, so I was like fast running through commercials. But when they teased going to commercial, TJ said, and the winner of the challenge Bloodlines is, and then it went to commercial. And then when I caught up, the first thing I heard was Jenna and Brianna. And I almost fell off my couch. I missed him leading, then leading up to it with the third place finisher and the bronze medal. That was a weird moment in the clubhouse.
I did notice that they went from first to third, but I, as you were saying, watch live, so I didn't get that, the joy of feeling like a different team won.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, Jenna won? I can't believe they won. And then, nope, they're giving the bronze medal. I'm like, oh, that
makes
sense.
The biggest bullshit was that TJ's like, all right, it was a really tight race between second and first, came down to the end. Like, obviously, no, it didn't, because it seemed like to the viewers that Mitch and Corey won by such a, like, such a big margin that for that to mean nothing, it meant Kara and Jamie had such a sizable lead that the last stage couldn't even make up for it.
I mean, it has, because they beat them in every other stage.
True that. Yes, I mean, I agree. So, I can't believe we didn't get the time. I mean, I can believe it, but it's just bullshit.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I don't even like necessarily need like the timestamp. Just like say like they how much they want.
No, that's what I meant. Like that's all we need. We're coming in total time at like 16 hours or whatever.
Ridiculous.
Okay, so we have a couple questions. Edward Morris says, would you rather this final have been timed or a point system based on where you finished the segment in difficulty?
So wait, so timed
or
what?
Like them saying like stage one is only 5 points. It's the least difficult. Stage two is 10 points. Like if you're the winner of stage one, you win 5 points and then go up from there in difficulty.
Mm. I guess that's better than this. I mean, time is like the worst. At this point, I'd rather them go back to the, like, if you're in the lead, even if you're in the lead by 12 hours, you get, like, a 5-minute head start in the last stage. I'd rather that. I don't care if it's unfair. It's a more entertaining.
I agree. It needs to be a straight shot, and whether that's just it's one day, and they get rid of the overnight component, and that's fine with me. Or, like you're saying, like, there's some sort of uniformness to it. Uniformity? Uniformness? Anyway, I think the point, if there was a point system, yes, it would be better, but you and I would be on here being like, how is that more difficult? Like, how is that only 5 points?
Right, yeah,
So I think you just need to, like, get rid of all of this bullshit and just make it so the last team to cross that line with TJ there is the winner.
Just, how about this? Just do a race. You start a race, you do the entire race, and whoever gets to the finish line first. It's a concept that's been done before.
I mean, this is like a totally novel idea to me. You're blowing my mind.
I know.
So Edward Morris also wanted to know, if the challenge did Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn, where would you cast each finalist? So for anyone who's not watching, this season of Survivor is Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn, which is pretty self-explanatory. So where do you think the finalists would rank?
I would put Jenna and... Yeah, Jen and Brianna and Beauty, Corey and Cara and Braun, and Mitch and Jamie and Brain.
What qualifies Jamie to be in Brains?
There was nowhere else who fit in Brains. Who else would go to Brains? I guess maybe Brianna, she has a job at the bakery.
It's tough. It's tough to distribute them equally. I think Corey could obviously be Braun or Beauty. Mitch is a Brain, Jenna's a Beauty.
I mean, I guess you could probably swap Jenna and Corey if you wanted to. Jenna almost fits in the
Braun
category.
I could see Survivor casting Cara on Braun or Beauty. I think Brianna's not getting cast on the season of Survivor, so she's not on the tribe. And that's it. Jamie, I think, is probably... I could see him on the Brain, but I don't know. There's nothing about him where he could introduce himself and justify him being on Brain. So I think he has to be a Braun or a Beauty by default. Like, I see what you're saying compared to the challenge contestants, but...
Right. It's kind of like you're...
Maybe he's like, I'm a Brain because I decided to go on a more reputable show and not the challenge. Tara H. says, instead of trivia next time, which she also posted a tweet that she enjoyed the trivia, so don't get it twisted. You guys should do F, Marry, Kill with random challengers. This would be fun to listen to. So...
I thought you were saying get rid of the trivia in the challenge, and I was going to say, like, disown this person forever, but okay.
You should feel some allegiance to our podcast, and not just TJ, but whatever. The challenge, one of the commercials, apparently going to commercial, gave, like, a date, marry, ditch scenario, and while it is no longer on RHAP brand to really do a ding, marry, kill if you're a guy... I feel like Rob thinks it's objectifying, and that's probably accurate. Let's objectify these homies. Date, marry, ditch, though, so it's a little bit more PC. First round, Brianna, Jenna, and Cara.
Date, Brianna, marry, Jenna, kill Cara.
I'm sorry. It was date, marry, ditch. You asshole. So I'm going to...
No, I'm killing Cara.
I'm going to...
And putting
I'm
her
gonna
in the ditch.
Ditch. Okay, well, the next season of Serial won't last that long because we'll listen to this podcast and know where to find the body. It's you.
I'll put her in Linkin Park.
I would say ditch Brianna, date Jenna, marry Cara. Deal with it. All right, so.
Oh, so we agreed on marrying Jenna.
No, I think I said I would marry Kara. So we agree that you're so not we're listening
different on
to
everyone.
Me. I don't know what I said. I'm not listening to myself. So we're all in this together again. Mitch. So Mitch, Corey, and Jamie. Date, marry, ditch.
You take it first.
All right. So I'm sorry. You got to ditch Mitch. You got to tell him, like, look, it's not you. It's me. Like, I think we should just be friends. Like, I'm just getting that friend vibe. You got to very, very casually date Corey and marry Jamie.
Swap Jamie and Mitch.
Say the full on. We can't all keep track of all of your interests.
Ditch Jamie, marry Mitch, date Corey.
You into Mitch?
I'll leave it at that.
You leave it at what, like a little snicker?
He was the one who took the Red Lobster, obviously.
Wow. For anyone who hasn't listened to Formation by Beyonce, get to know Brian. All right, so that was that. Thank you, Tara. Alex Pandemoran says, what would you say were the iconic moments of this season and what will it be remembered for?
To me, it's easy. It's the Jenna Brianna fight. Easily.
That's amazing. I didn't even think of it when I was trying to like quick. When I saw this question, I was like, what sticks out? I really think this season will go down as the Abe and Kara Thomas.
Ooh, yeah, that's true, actually. I revise. That was a better answer. But the funnier moment was the only reason why you have a job is because your dad owns a bakery. My dad wasn't in jail. I'd have a job, too.
God.
I mean, that's like an ultimate challenge.
I feel like there have been times where I've tried so hard to get you to rethink your point. This was so easy. I mean, it was just like,
it was easy. Yeah, no, you're totally
like, you
know right.
What? You didn't. I was like, I didn't think of that. I agree with you. I thought of this. And you were like, you know what? Abandon ship.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's the
unfortunately,
Abe
I think
Kara
there
Thomas.
Has been joy in the season. That was, like you mentioned, was one of the moments. Yeah. And unfortunately, it's overshadowed by this like Abe and Kara gray cloud.
Yeah. Could you like think about how bad this like pretty much this like season overall was. And now let's say Abe doesn't come on. Like, this is almost unwatchable.
I don't know. I think like I'm going to compare it to the Real Housewives again. Like, the Real Housewives of OC, the only storyline was this one guy, like, faking cancer, and nothing else happened. And I just want to believe that if they didn't have that, they'd still make material out of something else. Like, this was, Abe was, like, the best thing they had, but I still think there would have been joy. I mean, we didn't see, somebody tweeted that, like, now they totally get, or they posted on Facebook that now they totally get what I'm talking about with Rihanna after the shit they should have shown. Like, there were people who had personality, there were funny moments, and they just didn't show them because they had enough time to fill with Abe and Kara.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm glad Abe came, like, don't get me wrong.
Right.
Cha-cha-cha. Aaron Baltzel says, do you think MTV was pissed this was the final three? Out of all of the vets on the show, Kara seems to not be well-liked.
Yeah, I'm sure they. I mean, not about pissed, but I'm sure they would rather have like a Leroy in there or a Bananas in there or a Camilla in there.
See, I'm surprised you say that because I feel like based on this season of casting, and even maybe last season, like it really does seem like MTV is dedicated to trying to find the next Bananas, so to speak. Like they put a lot into Jordan, quote unquote retired. Like I feel like they would want someone like a Corey to emerge as a contender, as a threat, as a strategic mind. So I kind of think, like, I don't know that MTV really cares. Like, I think they have Kara.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I don't think they really care. I think they
have Kara in that, like, vet spot who everyone is, quote unquote, rooting for because she's been there 8 years, like, blah, blah, blah. And then they have Corey in that spot of like, boom, Bananas next season. Like, I'm not a rookie and I've placed second in the final that you didn't make. And then even Jenna Brown, like Jenna, I mean, you and I cast preview next season or next season she's on are going to have a way different perspective on Jenna than we have the last two seasons.
180. Complete 180.
So if I'm MTV, I'm not that upset about the contestants in this final. I'm pissed at the way the final, whoever decided this final is fired, but the people in it, I mean, you kind of want this new blood to develop so that there's something to be against Bananas. I'm not saying to replace Bananas, but you even saw...
Just the foil.
Exactly, how they like really tried to develop the Dario Thomas Corey alliance this season. I mean, if they didn't have that, what happened?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Tell me more. Nope. All right, the great DC coming at you. Which of the competitors most impressed you this season?
Jana, easily. She was great all around. Like, even just not even like for render damage, just as a competitor too. She was great.
Yeah, I will agree with you, Hundo. Which brings us to the reunion. Unless you have any final thoughts on this monstrosity.
Oh, God, no. Reunion. Which also, I mean, I didn't think it was that great. I've heard people say it was better. I didn't even think the reunion was that good.
Well, in fairness, you watched it today, right? So we're recording this on a Thursday. So you had like 24 hours, basically, a little less. If you watched this right after the final, it was much better by comparison. There was a little joy. That's fair. If you like had your lifetime, your day, and like, you know, you laughed with some coworkers and then you like ate a good sandwich for lunch, then the reunion was shit.
I did have an excellent sandwich. Thanks for asking.
This is so off topic and people are getting mad at me, but I just can't. So before we get to the reunion, no one's listening now. The final was shit, so no one's listening to us. I think we've mentioned it before, but Brian and I had never met and have only seen each other in person like 3 times. And we found out who we were, and like slowly we were like gonna meet up one time, and like it was like, where do you work, and we worked like on the same street. And then Brian's company, I thought you got a new job. Did you move companies or you move jobs? Like, did your company move you?
I moved companies, but the company did also move.
And then like months later, I'm now moving into the building that he would have. So like in a couple months difference, like Brian and I would have been connected through Rob, could have been on any ends of the earth, and would have been working in the same building.
It's a small world there.
Here was my free association on that. Sandwiches, places to eat for lunch, places near work, where your work is. Brian and I work in the same building.
What was that, like 5 steps?
I just free-associated all over your mustache. To quote Parks and Rec. Okay. To do a bad impression of that. So the reunion.
New host.
Is she a new host? I feel like she did it a couple... Like, oh no, I'm sorry, I'm confusing it with the girl code host. I just blew it. All right, let's just move back. Boop, boop, boop.
New host.
Guys, I'm having too much fun. Yeah, so Nessa hosted, and Derek Boucher says, who in the blue hell is Nessa? Huh?
It's a great question. I have no idea. Who is that?
So Nessa is on Girl Code. Which, who's the woman who did the after shows? Danielle?
Oh, God, that was so bad. That was the worst 30 minutes of my life.
I thought Nessa has done some stuff before, but maybe not. I mean, I just watch Girl Code. Girl Code is a great show for all my ladies and fellas. And Nessa is usually really good on the show. She bit it, I think.
She seems so out of place. I don't think she's like ever watched the show.
Emily Sue says, thoughts on Nessa hosting the reunion instead of Zuri?
She never really asked a question. Did you notice that? Every question was just like, what do you think? How do you feel? Why? What? Like, that was her questions.
I like that she seemed to hate Bananas. I like she really did. Enjoyed that.
I figured you would. She really did not like Bananas.
Justifiably so. And I also think you know better than anyone, like how clearly edited. I think this reunion more than any other seemed so edited. So I'm sure she asked questions that they just edited out and just put the contestants' responses in.
Oh, for sure. I mean, no one ever just speaks in this thing. They're always like asked questions and stuff like that. So
she was also giving you Franz realness. It was like outfit by Franz.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe she was tailored.
A men's suit. Good for her.
Yeah.
As far as Zuri goes, Zuri has been like on E's coverage of the Grammys and the Golden Globes. And so she's like moving up in the world, but I haven't been that impressed with her on the after show. I think she would have been better on the reunion, but I didn't like actively miss her.
I agree. Yeah. I wish they just had like Mark Long do it.
Forget that. Where's TJ hosting the reunion?
Oh my God. I mean, that would be the ultimate, but there's no chance in hell TJ is hosting this thing.
What's he doing?
Anything else?
Give him 10 grand. He's showing up to the reunion.
Well, sure he will, but they're not going to.
So there you go.
Don't give out 10 grand.
Well, how much do you think they're paying Nessa?
Peanuts, probably. They're probably buying her dinner.
$25
eliminations. Their eliminations consist of like a box. They give people 10 grand to host a reunion.
You're thinking of the milk crates that they stacked up.
Yeah,
and that was not the season. That was X's.
Whatever.
I often reference that too. People are like,
that is like
they put a lot of money
reference into
this. I'm like, they painted milk cartons and stacked them.
Did that shit when I was 4 years old.
Tell me more about your childhood. Okay, so
stop trying to make it personal.
Kyle Tucker says, if you had to replace someone with a different cast member at the reunion, who would it be?
I wish Tony was there.
Yeah, I thought this was amazing. I was just enjoying who I randomly remembered was cut. It was like Camilla and Larissa cut, which has Camilla like been cut in recent history?
She got out pretty early. She was, what, the third person out?
Anthony and Mike aren't there. Their bloodlines
are. That was
aren't
bizarre.
Although, what if, I feel like Kellyanne and Abram are way more vital than their bloodlines.
Mike probably had to work. So he couldn't be there.
And
Anthony just never spoke the entire season, so I don't think he would have been confused. I don't think he would have gotten let in the door. They would have thought he was like a producer or something.
Like Paul McCartney at Tyga's after show party?
Sure, we can go
boom,
with that.
Boom, pop culture reference, all of your mustache. Okay. Tyga's security at his Grammy after party did not let Paul McCartney in and didn't know who he was, so that's the reference. Camilla and Larissa cut, Candace and Leroy cut, the twins.
They should have, just for the hell of it, they should have had Christina's sister. I don't even remember her name. Just for the hell of it, they should have just had her there. Yeah, they should have just had her there or not. Like, asked her anything, she should have sat there silently the entire time. That would have been fun.
Fun is relative. Daria and Rafi, Steven and Thomas weren't there. And I think Shane was the big miss, because I think Shane would have had shit to say about all of this.
Absolutely.
I think.
Are you surprised Thomas wasn't there?
I was just gonna say, I think Thomas was questionable. I don't know if they were. Someone was like, "Are they afraid of Abram?" I don't know if it was just like they felt like they covered Thomas on the after show. I'm not 100% sure why he wasn't there. And if I missed anyone else, then they didn't come to mind, and that's why they weren't there.
Okay.
So Shane, I think Shane would be my number one choice in terms of replacement. Yeah. And who would you replace? Kyle didn't ask this, but who would you replace? Oh, no. If you had to replace someone.
Yeah. I mean, Kellyanne probably didn't have to be there, right? I don't know what she brought. Nicole probably didn't even have to be there either.
Well, Nicole revealed that she kissed Anthony, so everyone, like, okay. Throw yourself overboard.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Why was that big a surprise? Like, really? Oh, my God. Like, the new hot young girl is hooking up with, like, a new guy on the challenge, and that's like, oh, my God, my mind is blown.
I think you just took it to another level that would have blown my mind if they were hooking up. I think she basically said, like, I touched his face with my face. And everyone freaked out just because Anthony's, like, a mute. Like, I thought it was surprising. Maybe if I were, like, knew them and were on the show, I would have, like, amped it up
a bit. Your girl Rihanna said it, like, blew her, like, whole world of you.
Yeah, well, Rihanna's hilarious and knows how to play it up.
Yeah.
No, but to that point, like, I think all of them were having like overly produced reactions. So like when they showed a clip of something like the Jen and Brianna segment, they had the cutaway shot to people laughing like way too hard, like Rihanna overlapping, Bananas overlapping. Like they just like the little inset image was just like all the cast like, oh my God. And they, first of all, they'd all seen it before and they lived it before. So this is their third time watching it. I know you're not laughing that hard.
Third time's a charm.
Not for me. I don't know. I thought that was all overproduced.
Right. Of course it was.
Okay, so the first time, and now this, we're coming from different perspectives, so I want to know how you felt about it. Like, mm-hmm. when I was watching the when I was slogging through the final, and even the beginning of this reunion, I was like, aw. Once I got to Corey and Anissa, I, like, was having fun. I thought it was joy, it was funny, they both were into it. I loved that segment.
Yeah, that was decent. It is amazing the different reactions a guy gets.
Oh, we'll get to it. We'll get to
his girl. Well, this is on Corey. The fact that he was like cheating on his girl back home with Anissa, and she was like, and he was like, oh well, I thought I'd get away with it, and like everyone's laughing, and then like cut to 10 minutes later, and getting the knives and the pitchforks.
So we'll get to that, but I think just in general, this part, like, I think what's great about Corey and Anissa is they both laugh. They both own it. Like, Corey's like, oh, yeah, I thought I'd get away with it. And then Anissa's, like, doing an hilarious impression of Corey. They clearly are still sleeping together when they see each other. Like, there's no real drama here. I just thought it was playful. Can't believe Corey and I are the same age. I need to get some shit together or something. But, I just thought this, like, brought back the challenge that I like.
What's that say about me? That means I'm older than him.
I'm going to be 25 soon, okay? Like,
I'm going to be 26 in 10 days.
Oh, my God. It's your birthday soon?
10 days.
What day is 10 days from now?
28th.
What month is it?
February.
I wish I was kidding. I wrote it down, so, like, I'll do nothing, but, like, I thought about it. Yeah, so there's that. Edwin Morris says, if they did another exes, would you like to see Anissa and Corey?
Yeah, I mean, I like Corey, so I'm fine with Corey coming back. I don't think he needs to bring Anissa back, but...
Okay, so you've kind of oscillated this season then, because you were like, I was wrong about Anissa, and now you're like, they don't need Anissa, so now you've recirculated.
No, I was wrong. She had a great season. I think it would be all downhill from here. I think it's over.
Remember when you said that at the start of the season?
Yeah, I was wrong.
But you're still saying there's nothing left to give.
I circled back, and I'm right back on that corner again.
See, I don't like that you're inflexible.
I'm not inflexible. I said I was wrong.
I think
now I'm back to it. I think she's done.
I just think you can't say she's done every season. I was wrong, but now she's done. You can say whatever you want, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah, don't judge my life.
I don't know. I think, like, she showed different sides of herself this season than Bananas has shown. And I'm not comparing them because they are certainly not filling the same role. There is always going to be room for the Bananas and the Anissa on whatever season. But just in terms of people that they're going to bring back, that you're going to be in favor of them bringing back, like, she has shown more varied sides of her, multifaceted sides of her, than Bananas has shown in the last 5 seasons. She's hooking up with people younger than her. She's fighting with people. She's connecting and being vulnerable with her cousin. Like, she is doing every single thing that MTV could possibly ask, one of those things, and she's doing all of them. So, you know, show me a season where she dries up and just gives me the same thing. Like Nani, for example, this season, I feel like Nani is very one note. Anissa is multifaceted. She's flexible. She's giving you everything that needs to be given for the season. And she's the source of a lot of the drama, a lot of the intrigue in these episodes. So I'm willing to say bring Anissa back until she starts flatlining like a Nani, and then I'll say, all right, we're done. But for me, it's crazy to say I was totally wrong. She was great this season, but now she's done. Yeah. Like, there's no evidence to support that.
I think this is the outlier. I think the past few seasons were the evidence, and I think this is the outlier.
And a lot of the people that people want back repetitively, to me, have kind of dried up. So if you're seeing someone who is bringing something new, bringing something different, bringing something fresh, then let me see that. Let me take a gamble on that person again, rather than give me Nani again. You know, like, give me Nicole.
Yeah, well, that's what we're getting.
That's what I'm saying. I think, is it Nani back?
I feel like I've asked you or you asked me this like every other episode, and I don't remember.
I think Nani is back.
I know Nicole is back. I don't know if Nani's back.
Regardless, I just think, like, give me a reason to sit Anissa out and we'll talk about it. But I just think it's kind of like, oh, I'm tired of Anissa. But it's like, tangibly, this season, like, without her, it's like Abe. Without Abe, I'll put Johnny in there. Without Johnny, Abe, and Anissa.
You mean John?
what would have really happened? Kara and Thomas would have hooked up, and like that would have been it.
Just Tony kissing everyone.
Tony was only there like a week. So, give me Anissa again. And I think Corey and Anissa, to get back to the question, sorry, I just totally lost my shit. I think Corey and Anissa are the perfect dynamic where they'd like actually get along on an exes. Like, they'd probably work together well because Anissa would listen to Corey. And that's clearly what Corey likes. And I think they'd still hook up because that's kind of what their relationship is. And they'd still leave room for the like more dramatic couples. Like if they brought like if Madison and Tony were to break up and they brought them back or something like that, like mm-hmm. something like super dramatic, like Anissa and Corey could be like the like comedic effect and like actually do well. So
quick thought on Tony and Madison. Did you see they had their kid?
It's coming at the end.
Okay.
I was going to lead off with it, but, you know, we just got into such a groove. But speaking of unhappy exes, we get the story behind Zach and Jenna's breakup.
Yeah, deja vu all over again. Jenna playing the role of John A.
Jenna playing the role of every ex Zach has ever had.
Yeah. Soon to be played by the role of Brooke. Whoever this Brooke character is.
Yeah, so Jenna basically said, like, we were going to get engaged, and now he blocked my number and won't speak to me. And we've heard this a million times from Zach's exes. When will you learn?
Never. And I'm sure someone else from the challenge will get involved with him very soon. Probably someone who's not yet on the show. And we'll go through this all over again.
Then we get the drama between Kara and the blonde Hugh Jackman fellow impersonating Captain Hook from the Peter Pan remake that no one saw.
What?
Have you seen the Hugh Jackman played Captain Hook in the Peter Pan remake that no one saw that failed miserably called Pan? And he's bald with like this devilish goatee that's black. And Abe showed up looking like the blonde version of this pirate villain that no one saw.
That was a very
Google it. Someone's seen it. Kristen Kinnear knows what I'm talking about. That was a reach. I don't know if you
know what I'm talking about. That was very long. That was
Google
very
it.
In-depth.
You're sitting in front of a computer. I know because we're talking through the computer.
You don't know my
Literally,
life.
You couldn't not be in front of a computer.
I don't know. Maybe I'm like laying down. The computer could be on the
other side
of the room.
I don't have any sympathy for you if you're laying down. Like, do one crunch and sit up.
Oh my god. Okay. What am I
Google Hugh Jackman.
This is a long freaking Google. Okay.
Nope.
Peter?
Pan.
I don't
want to
see like
pan.
What he cooks on.
And it got panned. Probably.
Jackman.
Pan. Meanwhile, we're teeing up in a very delicate, fun way. One of the worst moments I've had to sit through, I think, in recent history, at least since we've been podcasting.
See, to me, I thought the after show was worse. Honestly.
I guess I was just more in it in the after show. Like, I actually felt more sympathetic towards Abram in the after show. In this reunion, I just felt like all of this was bullshit and Kara did not get the respect she deserved.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, because this to me, all of this just felt forced. So like, the first time felt natural, and this time it just felt super forced. That's why I didn't even take it as real. It just didn't feel as real and raw as the first time. That's why, like, I saw like this coming around, like, oh my god, this car every time I was on the reading was so brutal. And then I'm watching, I'm like, I don't know, I didn't get that sense. It didn't really hit me. I'm looking at the Hugh Jackman. I mean, I guess so. It's tough to like put like a blonde wig on him and. Abe
there's no wig.
Mustache.
He's bald. I'm just saying
yeah,
the facial
know,
hair.
Like,
it's really just in the nose yeah. down.
I guess so.
That said, I agree with what you're saying. Actually, that makes a lot of sense to me. That it felt, especially because we had just seen the episode, so it's like fresh to us,
right?
But
that's also again like what I think I said about the whole I don't like these after shows because if like this was the first time they saw each other, like this would be a lot more intense. But they just did this. Like, didn't they film that after show? Like, I don't know, like a month ago?
I don't know. I just think you're not going to. Well, no, it's like 14 weeks ago. Whatever it was, I think this reunion was just like a couple weeks after that after show. but, or I, you know, I don't know, but
who knows?
I don't, like, the bottom line is they wouldn't have not seen each other. You know, like, they lived together, they had to move out, their exes, like, there was, there's never going to be a time where they're in sequester, you know, for 3 months until the, like, reunion. That's never going to happen. So I'm glad we at least got to explore their issue more in depth. I wish we just didn't explore it so much at the reunion. I mean, I think it was bullshit how much time was spent on it, how much Bananas was allowed to talk on it, how much, you know, Abe was allowed to milk from it. And then we never addressed the fact that Kara won.
What are we addressing? Barely.
Absolutely barely. Like, this is just like Sarah. It's like when a woman does something or something else happens controversial that quote unquote taints her win, that's all we're going to talk about on the reunion. And then when a guy does something bullshit, but he wins, let's get into it. You know, like Nessa actually eats up time saying like, oh, were you guys afraid of heights during these challenges? Well, we're not going to give a montage of like Kara, like beasting through 8 seasons to finally win. Like, we're not going to tell that story, but we're going to be like, Abe, like, are you afraid of anything?
Well, we kind of got the Kara thing at the end of the episode. Like, that was the thing. We got that montage at the end of the finale.
I just think that if Bananas won, we would have gotten another Bananas montage. And now we're getting the same Sarah effect where it's like, you know, let's only talk about Kara cheating on her boyfriend when, as you brought up, a lot of people on the show cheated on their relationship, you know, on their other, their, but we're not getting like, Corey, I know you came in second place, but let's focus on your girlfriend. Let's bring her out. Here she is. Like, you know, it's bullshit.
Here's the thing, though. While I do think Bananas really has no place to talk about their relationship, I don't think he's that wrong with what he said. That she didn't want to tell him because she did not. She was so focused on this game and winning, she didn't want to blow this whole thing up.
All right, let's go question by question. We'll get more into that because I don't disagree, but I certainly don't agree. So first we get Kara walking over to him, squatting down on her knees, apologizing for everything, you know. And Abe's like, "Oh, it's no big deal." Gives her a hug. That should have been the end of it. Like, if he's going to say, like, oh, it's no big deal, it's actually a big deal, but it's fine, and hug her, I was happy because I thought that was going to be the most degrading thing and the end of it. But nope.
Then there's more.
Abe's like, tell me what you wrote on that note. You know, whatever. He's so heartbroken. The thing is this is what I was going to say. Sorry. When you're saying, like, oh, it was more raw the first time, and I don't disagree, when they're panning to Kara's face, like, even when they go to commercial saying, like, we're gonna come talk to Kara, like, that is the face of someone, like, absolutely heartbroken in tremendous pain. Like, even more so than the after show, like, her facial expressions were so painful to look at because I felt it was, like, so, so real for her. So, I don't know.
I mean, it definitely was real. I definitely felt the pain for her, but it just, I don't know, there was something about it, just wasn't resonating with me.
The best part of this, the only good part of this, was when Abe is like, you guys saw me yelling on the after show, and I expected him to say, like, oh, it was out of context, like, I was yelling like this, I was never gonna hurt anyone. He's like, I wasn't gonna hurt Kara, I was gonna hurt Thomas. Like, he's
but even weirder, he said, like, oh, they didn't catch it on camera, but then they showed the clip on camera.
Oh, I missed that. So I didn't they mean did they catch, didn't it. Catch it. I thought he just meant, like, they didn't show it.
He said, like, before the cameras even clicked on.
Yeah, I mean,
on,
he doesn't
when
know.
I was screaming. Yeah, but he's such a weird guy, you know? Weird dude.
But then Abe retreats into, like, oh, I just, like, wish you had told me, like, if I did something wrong. And it's like, you know what, Abe, you're not exactly approachable. You know, like, I agree that, like, what Kara did you dirty. But, like, don't come on here sobbing like you're some wounded puppy. Like, if you had just said something was wrong, like, I would have fixed it, or, like, it would have been fine, and I would have just, like, gone to sleep and everything would have been okay. Like, no, you're a fucking lunatic. Own that you're a lunatic, which you usually do. You're not approachable. I'm not saying he was going to hit her or do any harm to her, but, like, you could see where Kara's coming from. It's hard to break up with someone who's even normal. Like, can you imagine, like, deciding you're not in love with Abram anymore and breaking up with him? Are you effing kidding me? So
yeah,
he shows up with this wounded puppy dog. Like, grow up, sack up. Like, you're such a tough guy. Don't play the victim now just because it behooves you. That pissed me off.
Yeah, there's probably plenty. Yeah, there's definitely plenty of other times where Kara was the pseudo victim in their situations. Not like physical victim, just like, you know what I mean.
Enter Bananas. Now, the first time Bananas speaks, I thought he was defending Kara. Maybe I misinterpreted it, but like, Kara's saying, like, I only made out with Tom, we never did anything more, blah, blah, blah. And I thought Bananas here interjected to say, like, the cameras would have caught it. And Kara, like, flips out that he says that. And I thought Bananas was, like, saying, like, yeah, no, the cameras would have caught it if he did anything else. But maybe that was naive of me.
Oh, I think he more was saying, like, the cameras did catch it, and what you're saying isn't true. Like, he said, like, oh, the camera, I think he said, like, something like, the camera doesn't lie. And he's just referring to that scene on the bus where he just thinks something more happens.
See, I'm going to give Bananas more credit than you're, like, I just think my interpretation was he was saying, like, no, like, the cameras don't lie. That's what I'm saying. Like, he even went caught off guard when Kara attacked him back. And the cameras did not catch anything. Like, she was, like, at worst, nuzzling his neck. Like, the cameras didn't even catch them officially making out. So I don't know how he could, like, construe the cameras, meaning, like, sex happened. Like, that certainly was not shown. Allison Smith says, when Kara was talking about Abram coming into the house during the reunion, she said that it would have been the same if Corey or Bananas' girlfriend came in. Corey was cheating, but was Kara implying that Bananas was cheating? If he was, do you think the show would air it because they would be afraid of Bananas never coming back?
I didn't really catch that quote. What did she say?
So she made some, like, very quick comment, like, if Corey or Bananas, it's like this Abram came in, just like if Corey or Bananas' girlfriend came in, which sort of implies to the audience that Bananas, like Corey and Kara, was cheating on his girlfriend. Now, there was a tweet that kind of supplemented this, and I'm curious to hear your opinion. Kara tweeted this before it aired, and I didn't understand what it meant first. So she said, people talking the most are the ones who bring, quote, visitors to their hotel rooms. We all know, except your girlfriend. That's cool. # hypocrite. And so I wasn't sure who she meant. And then as the reunion went on, I was like, oh, is this a Bananas attack?
I don't know what Bananas does in the hotel room. It's just interesting.
Okay, so that's what you make of this? Is that?
I don't know. I can't confirm nor deny it. So I mean, she's throwing out claims. I don't know.
I want to believe that Bananas isn't that stupid. Like, okay, so they have kind of like a long distance relationship. She's a professional athlete. He's a professional whatever. Like, okay, like, if he's going to cheat on her, he's going to cheat on her, like, randomly. Like, I don't think he's going to cheat on her, like, well, maybe on location in Turkey if they're in hotels. But I don't know that he's going to, like, or at the reunion if they put him in hotels. I don't think he's going to cheat on her on the show. I'm going to give Bananas more credit than that. But
you wouldn't think so. Bananas really isn't shown, like, even before Hannah ever really hooking. Like, his whole thing with Camilla and Nani both weren't really shown.
Yeah, well, that's what some listeners wrote in response to this question about, like, well, he's an expert at not being shown. But is it that he's good at being discreet, or is it that MTV is not going to out him?
I mean, when he hooked up with Camilla, I don't think he was dating anyone, so I don't know why they wouldn't show it. I mean, I think the Nani thing just happened off show, but the Camilla stuff, I don't really know the backstory of the Camilla stuff. I've never really been clear on that.
I'm laughing because I agree. Brandon Millay says, how soon will Johnny Bananas be granted sainthood for his selfless act of letting Abram know that Kara was cheating on him? Will this go down as the greatest act of humanity in recorded history?
Yeah, that was weak. I mean, just own it a little. Like, I know, I guess maybe part of it was that he felt bad for Abe. Like, I mean, come on.
how can you even say that part of it was that he felt bad for Abram when this is not even my speculation? Like, if I recall correctly, the episode showed him being like, this is perfect. I'm going to, like, make my right. move. So it's not even partially. It wasn't like he in confessionals was saying, you know what? I feel really bad for Abram and we're trying to make it like it was in his best interest. Like, he said in the show that this was his perfect, like, move.
Right. No, I mean, I agree.
Well, you said partially, so I'm...
Well, I mean, I know in confessionally said that, but I'm pretty sure, I think he said on the show also, he kind of indicated that, but I mean, all could have just been a farce and excuse. I don't know.
Absolute horseshit. That's fine. Then he starts accusing Kara of using both guys to get ahead. Like, it's just so clear that he's developed this narrative, like, while he's been at home, like, doing the crosswords.
See, that part, I don't disagree with him, though. That's where I think that's why Kara didn't out this right away. Because she knew this would obliterate her
game. Okay, but there's two different things. So he's saying she used Abe to get ahead and she used Thomas to get ahead. And there's the other side, which is, like, she's claiming... Did you see how Abe reacted? I didn't want Abe to, like, bite Thomas's head off. So, I just think, like, yeah, all right, but if I'm in a relationship and I'm going to break up with someone, like, that's uncomfortable. You're on, add national television, add Abe's personality, add that you've been cheating with someone he's gotten close to. Like, I just think it's complicated, and I think it's very convenient that Bananas has now decided, like, oh, I didn't do this for my game, you did it for yours.
I think they both did it for their games.
I would at least be willing to say, okay, Kara, half and half. Like, Kara, I think Kara said in a confessional, like, I'm not trying to blow up my game just because Abe is here. Like, fair. And I also think she's saying Abe is terrifying. Like, I buy both of her reasonings. Johnny, there's absolutely had none of Abe's or Kara's best interests at heart when he told Vince to tell Abe. Like, absolutely zero. And him claiming that and now him trying to point the finger at Kara is just clinging to scraps that are out of reach. And I would have so much respect. People wonder why I don't like Bananas. Like, I would have so much respect if Bananas was like, look, my back was against the wall because of this alliance. I saw a crack. I squeezed through it. I would be like, amazing, brilliant gameplay. This just makes him look pathetic.
But I don't think it's 100-0. I mean, I think it's like 80-20, 90-10. But I do think part of it is that him and Abe go back a little while. He did kind of feel bad for him.
That's complete horseshit. Abe and Bananas have no relationship. Abe's sitting there on the show saying, I want to wring his neck, I'm going to strangle him, I want to kill him, all of this stuff. There is zero, and Johnny has tweeted between now and taping the finale, like, acknowledgement of what Abe has said and, like, all of this shit. So there's, I just don't think there's any love lost between them. I think it's bullshit to say, oh, they go back a long time. Like, Kara and Bananas go back a long time, if we want to talk about that. You know, like, it's not, I think it's two separate issues. Like, what Kara's motivation, yes, I think there's a percentage, there are percentages to divvy up between what was just completely game interested and what was afraid of Abram and what was afraid to lose her relationship, fine. In terms of Bananas' motivation, there is zero question that he was 100% acting self-interested, and if he somehow was in an alliance with Abe and Kara and Thomas, he would have never blown that up. There was no love lost between Abram and Bananas, and I'm honestly shocked to even hear you saying that.
I've made my case.
I don't think you've made your case. I think you're just saying, like, oh, there was history. There's history between a ton of people who don't get along. That's the problem with history. There's history with Wes and Bananas. I don't think Bananas would stick his neck out for Wes in this situation.
We disagree.
No, I want you to speak to this.
I have. You obviously don't agree.
I mean, to have to say there's history between Abe and Bananas, I'm, like, hoping to hear you debate. That's why it's a two-person podcast.
they've been on many shows. Like, I think there's, like, I'm not saying this, obviously, I'm not saying this is the big reason. I think to say that 0%, I think is wrong.
I'm going to disagree. No, it's not that I disagree. I think you disagree with yourself. I'm going to go back to the episodes where you were like, no, that's bullshit. He didn't have a disinterested heart. And so I'm curious to know why you've like switched your opinion, or what in the last like two episodes made you feel sympathetic to Bananas' his position?
I don't know. Next question.
See, I'm not bullying you. I want you to convince me. I want you to
I have nothing else to add. I'm desperate to hear you say,
you know what, this, and this happened, and this is why, and bro code or whatever bullshit, and I would be like, all right.
This is how my brain works.
Like, well, you disagree with what I said, and there's no explanation. Like, we're here to talk. People are trying to listen to us talk. More.
I have nothing else to give. You've taken it all.
You're accusing. I didn't take anything. You said one sentence and I'm waiting for more. I didn't take anything. I'm hoping. Convince me. I would love to love Bananas more.
I'm not going to be able to convince you. And I have nothing. I'm arguing about like a 10% iota of an argument. There's nothing to really argue about.
That's what's fun. This isn't a real show. It's a challenge. It's also like, I would love to love Bananas more, but I just feel like I don't have a choice. So give me that choice, Brian. Give me the argument. Really sell me.
No comment.
All right. Well, I did my best. I'm sure I'm going to get shit for quote unquote berating you, but I wanted to hear more. I'm open to it. I'm open to loving Bananas. All right. So the one thing that bothered me here, so Kara being attacked by Banana, or being, what's a less negative word, whatever, confronted by Bananas and Abe, unfortunately for her, goes into like, well, shit, count my money. Like, I rule. Like, I have so much cash because I won. Oh, bad choice.
It's the classic super defensive mode when you go, oh, look, I beat you. There's nothing else
I want to do that, like, improv game where it's like, new choice. Like, try again. And this is question mark what triggers Abram to be like, I can't, like, see you celebrating, like, your win. Like, I have to go. And it's like, well, give me a break, Abram. You quit the show. It's not like Kara voted you out. You quit.
He's like the boy who cried walking off the set now. You can't, like, you can do that once. You can't do it twice.
Amazing. I'm applauding you like Corey when Jenna and Brianna finished the canoe. Except I mean it. So Daniel Alay Smith says, I thought Bananas went too far in the reunion. In my opinion, it wasn't his place to talk about Cara, Maria, and Abram. Thoughts on that segment? Now, opposite opinion. Gabby Gladney says, Kara voiced her opinions of the reunion and the editing of her storyline in general all over Twitter. I agree that the way NTV has handled her whole thing with Abram has been kind of gross and exploitive. But does Kara really have a reason to complain? Should Kara just accept the editing since she signed up to put herself in the situation? Love the podcast. Love you too.
There's nothing she could do about it, really, right? She's got to she can't go back and re-edit the show.
But so
just take it. Just count and enjoy the money. So
do you feel
like
Bananas went too far? Or do you feel like Kara didn't really have a leg to a leg to stand on with her complaints?
No, I didn't think he, I mean, I'm sure this segment was like 10 times longer than what it showed. So I'm sure if you were sitting there for 2 hours, it probably would have felt like dragging on and on, maybe went way too far. But for what they showed, I didn't think he said anything that was so outlandish to her.
I mean, it was just like the after shows, like, why is Bananas here? Why is Bananas saying anything? But We'll get into it more, but I just forget Bananas. Like, I just think the treatment in general by everyone of Kara was like absolutely ridiculous. Like, her each of her segments were like shitting on her, as opposed to like being like, "Congrats, you won finally."
Right. I just think it's a combination of most people don't like Kara. There's one, and it's just the classic. It's always it's what the challenge does is very hypocritical about how they treat guys who sleep around and girls who sleep around. And not even just the challenge, just how the world treats it. So you combine those two factors, and this is how Corey gets laughs and how Kara gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, going into that, let's see if I can pull this question at the right time. I can't. Okay. Sharon, oh, I'm sorry. Brandon Malay says, the shift in tone from Kara's cheating and Corey's cheating was massive. Do you chalk that up to sexism or the fact that Corey's girlfriend wasn't in the room?
I'm sure her not being there obviously mattered, but I mean, like, Tony, she not really cheated on, but like, there was a whole thing with Madison. I mean, Madison wasn't there, but she was in like the real world world.
What do you mean not really cheated on?
Well, they weren't together when he was sleeping with Christina.
She was pregnant with his child.
Yeah, but they weren't together. That's a, at least that's his excuse. I mean, I don't think it's like a nice, good thing to do.
Has he said that? Wait, do you have like a tweet or something where he said that?
No, but I mean, that's...
I thought we were like unclear about... I thought we were like, we're not
unclear
sure.
About what?
Like,
were,
how were they? Did he know she was pregnant? We've had that whole...
Oh, I don't
like,
know if...
What,
no,
he know?
I don't think he knew she was pregnant at the time, no.
No, but he said to... There was a whole thing between him and Christina. Like, you have a girl back to home. I love her. Like... I think we, as an audience, were unclear if they were together, but I don't think... I think they were together.
True. So they probably were together. Yeah, but she, I guess she was in the room, so that changes it.
Every once in a while, I spin out a gem. yeah, I mean, I think this is classic. I think what we're seeing now is an absolute repeat between what happened with Sarah. Like, Sarah wins, she demonstrates good gameplay, and they're going to go and critique... You know, they're going to take Naya's side in the reunion, and they're going to take Banana's side in the reunion, and Sarah is going to not be celebrated. Now we have Kara being the main lead in the win, and we get all about her and Abe. Banana's weighs in on her and Abe, and that's it. And I think that it's pretty pathetic that MTV is going to have, like, such a badass female group, and... just shit on them when they win. Like, if I were Kara, like, I would not want to come back. That said, if I were getting paid 10 plus G's, I would come back.
If you're thinking about it, though, for what Jenna and Brianna made, they didn't really make much for, like, the amount of time and effort they had to put into all this.
So. Yeah, but Kara's got to make money for just coming back. I mean, I think then we're getting into conversation of, like, who's getting paid just to come in addition to their money. Like, Jen and Brianna, not a great example of that, but just in terms of, like, yeah, Bananas, the TV show would seem like he didn't get paid. I mean, bullshit. Kara, I think, even gets paid at this point for coming back. No?
I would assume so.
So, if you're going to pay me to just come back, I mean, you got to weigh out how much abuse can I take for being a dramatic female lead and Bananas is foil. And how much are they paying me? Sharon Tharp says, I feel like they were going really hard on Kara during the reunion. I'm not even a huge fan of hers, but she apologized profusely and on her knees, mind you. People make mistakes, especially this group. I thought it was pretty shitty that they kept kicking her when she was clearly already down. Discuss?
Yeah, I mean, it's this... The same thing that we've said, that this is just the different treatment that she gets versus any other guy. I mean, she was, I thought it was the same thing as you, that after she apologized for us, it would be over, but obviously they weren't going to leave it at that.
All right, so let's transition to Vince and Bananas, because we need more Vince.
That phrase has never been uttered.
My favorite part of the segment, underrated, amazing part of the segment, is Vince saying, I didn't suck at all the challenges. Like, I killed it with the snakes. Like, I owned it on the challenge where I just had to stand there and not do shit. Like, I was amazing at that.
The Vince fail montage was the best part of this 2.5 hours.
So, Andrew Kirk wants to know, how hard did you guys laugh when Banana says Vince was the best athlete on the stage?
I mean, he's so bad at everything. He's so bad. But the funny thing is, like, there aren't that many great athletes even on that stage.
Well, he's on the stage.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one. He's better. He's one. But, there aren't that many more. But Vince just sucks still.
Kara, Bananas, Corey, all perform better. Abram all perform better than Vince throughout. I haven't gone back to their like individual, but I would even say
Jenna probably.
I was going to say Jenna's record. I would even maybe suggest Kellyanne.
She's so like, you would think he's going to do better next time around.
I mean, I would think that because I said that and I'm standing by that. I said that a couple weeks ago. You heard me before Bananas teased like they were going to win. I said, look out for Vince in the next
season.
Only
one of them can win, so that'll be interesting.
Did you hear? Do you recall me saying Vince is a top contender for the second time rule?
And it's my rule, so I definitely heard you.
Your rule is just like give people a second chance. Yeah. I said I think Vince is going to be better, and the listeners know the truth because you flip flop like my sandals. So Nick Sabetta says, did Brian message Bananas to tell Vince to say that he threw all of the challenges this season?
I can't slide into Bananas DMs, so I can't do that.
Are you saying he doesn't follow you despite your steadfast allegiance?
That's what I'm saying. It's disappointing.
But let's talk about that. So Bananas basically says that Vince threw all the challenges and he's the best athlete on the stage. And maybe there will be another season. And Vince is like, oh my God, like, wouldn't that be great? Wink, wink. Fucking weirdo. Sorry.
Creepy Vince. There's no way. He's got way too big of an ego to make himself look like a complete jackass throughout this entire season.
See, I spoke about this. I am somehow like wearing an I Heart Vince shirt, like number one fan, like that potentially Banana said, like, look like an underdog, screw everything up, come back next season, kill it. Like, you know, I'll be there. Like, I was there. So we'll see. Edwin Morris asked, do we buy Vince throwing all the challenges? Hashtag Vince fail. I don't know. I see what you're saying about the ego. Who can say? I think it's like a 50-50. I think it's like Bananas was like, don't do your best in this challenge. And Vince is kind of like a heavy load. So he dropped down. I think if Vince's neck was on the line, maybe he would have performed
out.
Better.
Make that a drop. That phrase right there. Holy crap.
What did I say?
You said Vince has a heavy load.
So, I don't know. Regardless, the biggest Vince fail was whatever the hell was growing on Vince's head during this reunion.
We're trying to run away from.
He looked like Bulbasaur. Like, I don't know. It just looked like something was going to shoot out of that like headpiece he had on.
Oh, yeah. That was not a good look for him. Somehow he was...
Bulbasaur, the Pokemon. Bulbasaur, like, the employee. Like,
wait, who?
I don't know things. Yes, the Pokemon point? Is the point.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what... you corrected my correction. I was very... I didn't know what was happening.
I don't know things. All right, Allison Smith says, did you find the montage of Vince Vail, Mitch Watch, and Cuz/Cousin more entertaining than the final? I definitely did.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Did you have anything else to say on Vince? I didn't realize I was moving so quickly.
No. He sucks. We can go on.
Rachel Glassford says, what kind of social game would we expect from a future challenge season with Cara Maria? If we think she will be back, how will the other challenge castmates treat her?
I don't think anything will change. She'll be about the same. Most people won't like her just because they don't like her, but she'll still be a really good competitor.
Do you think she'll be back?
Yeah. For sure.
Okay. So, Rachel Agul on Twitter tweeted me this interview on people.com with Cara. And a couple of interesting things she said. She basically said that she turned down the most recent challenge that they offered her because she was not mentally ready. She just wasn't feeling okay until this whole chapter closed. I probably would say yes to another one in the future that I can prepare mentally and physically for. Yeah, I got the win that I've been waiting for so long to get, but it's kind of been overshadowed by other things. Maybe I need to try to get another win that nobody can complain about. So either she was offered to be on this next season or she was offered to be on the season after that and declined. as far as an update goes with her and Abram, she said he's traveling. He's probably already slept with plenty of people. I can't look at anybody or anything. I just have to take care of myself and that they're taking space. And she wishes they could do couples therapy and she's seeing a therapist. So, yeah, right. She's a therapist.
And offering therapy sessions. I'll say this. The cut of Laurel calling her a JV player was hysterical in her little montage. I was cracking up for that.
The other thing really quick, sorry, with this People interview is basically she said she complained that basically her and Jamie spoke a lot about how they were both doing this for their recently deceased grandmother. And like when they beat bananas, it was their grandmother's birthday and they spoke so much about it. And she said, of course, none of that was shown. The show is supposed to be about family, so I thought it would have been good. It was really about the dedication to our grandmother, and unfortunately, that was really kind of overshadowed by a horrible decision I made in the beginning. I really haven't been able to let the wind sink in. I've just kind of felt horrible ever since. Sorry. So, like, she's fucked up, and she's pissed at MTV for showing what they've shown. I don't blame her, but I don't know why she thought MTV would have focused on her deceased grandmother.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, that's just not an interesting storyline for I mean, it's interesting for her, but for viewers at home, I like it, that doesn't move the needle.
As far as Rachel's question, I agree with you. Like, I don't think much is going to be different just in terms of, like, it's not like Kara had an amazing social game that was just, like, interrupted and now she's the leper. Like, she's always kind of been the leper. And she's always kind of just been the person that people don't want to go against in an elimination or a final. So I think she's still going to be playing from the bottom in terms of alliances unless Laurel is back. And even then, you know, so I agree with you. I don't think much is going to be different for her. It's not like she lost a lot of friends here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Alex Panamoran says, with Kara Maria now joining the likes of Paula and Sarah in winning her first challenge on her eighth attempt, why do you think it takes these seasoned female veterans so long to win a season?
I don't know. I think it's just a weird kind of phenomenon.
I don't think there's
anything to like really read into that.
I mean, if we're looking at somebody similar, like a Nani or like, I don't know. I just think, yeah, I agree with you. There's something to read into it. But if I had a podcast about it and I like gun to my head, I don't know. I think there's something to falling into the kind of like guys alliance. Like you look at Sarah, you look at Paula, who kind of like fell in with the guys, got screwed over by guys until they came back and then screwed over the guys. You know, like I feel like you have to learn that these people are going to betray you to know how to play them and then become, I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense, but I feel like some of these women come in like thinking they can go under the guy's wing. They learn that they can't and they emerge on their own.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's also just, it just takes, for most people, it takes the veterans longer to win. Like even like for guys, like I don't know if it doesn't really take them like eight seasons, but for most of the guys, they don't win their first or second season. Might not take it until the eighth, but usually don't win till like their third or fourth. So I just think it's just that it takes, you usually are a target in your first couple seasons. By your third or fourth season, you're starting to like gather friends. And then by your fifth or sixth season, you have like a good, strong alliance and you can basically coast to like the final five and then you can get to a final one.
Fair enough. Couple of Twitter notes before we get to our last couple questions here. So Kiki Cooper from Are You the One was pretty active on Twitter during the finale. And basically MTV was teasing, like, if you tweet with the hashtag, the challenge bloodlines enough, we'll release like a 20-second clip of the Rivals 3, which no one's surprised about. And Kiki tweeted first, can't wait to see this footage. Love to watch my ex hook up with another chick. Ha ha. Her ex being... Is his name Dustin? What's his name?
Well, who are we talking about?
Kiki?
No, who's her ex? Oh, from our... Devin. Oh, he's on this season, is he really?
You didn't know? So Devin, Cheyenne, Brianna, there's a couple people.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I totally forgot about this cast list.
So Then she wrote, excuse me, but I'm a bottle of wine deep. So bring on the damn mother effing footage. Can't wait to see this shit. Hashtag the challenge bloodlines. Then she wrote, don't worry, Anissa. I know what it's like to have a guy lie to you about what his bitch ass says in interviews. LOL. Hashtag the challenge bloodlines, which I thought was hilarious. And then friend of the podcast, Tim Huberlin, tweeted at Kiki MTV, will you go on the challenge if asked? And she tweeted four like sly smileys, which suggests that she's like already in conversation, but I'm not going to tell you emojis, which would be great for us because I consider Kiki a friend of the podcast. So please get cast.
Same with Brianna. We got a couple friends of the podcast.
Well, she's already cast. I mean, if TJ were to be
on this season.
Right. No, that's amazing. I just mean if Kiki were to be cast in the future. Mm-hmm. Would be
super excited for Devin to be on.
Okay. So Kara tweeted, challenge MTV reunion in a nutshell. Kara equals whore with fake accent. Jenna equals MVP. Death threats. People made out with people. Other people opinions. And then she later tweeted, and I don't think I have it. Oh, she said, at MTV, at challenge MTV, are you not airing the death threats to risk being sued or to make sure that there are no holes in the Kara sucks edit? Which I'm looking forward to your interpretation, but I thought meant she was assuming like she brought up that she's getting death threats and MTV edited that out.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what.
What a shame. The challenge tweeted, this is breaking my heart about Abe and Kara. And Kiki responded to that, I feel like next season is going to break my heart. I'm obsessed with her. Johnny Bananas tweeted, you're a good man at Abram Boise, heart John, which made everyone throw up. And then Kiki tweeted, when Bay is sleeping and you're watching the Challenge Bloodlines reunion in his living room and his roommate is concerned why you're so drunk.
Oh, Kiki.
I feel that. Speaking of people who may be on the challenge, I forget who tweeted what, but Nicole tweeted some kind of thing like, maybe I'll be on the challenge. And then this guy, James White, tweeted at Nicole, Candace, and Nani, are we going to be seeing more of y'all next season? Please say yes. And Candace tweeted, we'll just have to wait and see, babe. Like, enticing emoji. Do you think Candace is going to be back?
I wouldn't think so, but I mean, I guess it's possible, but I hope that doesn't mean it's like she takes the place of Leroy or something.
What? I don't know. I mean, look, if Candace is back, great, but if she's not back, like, who's Candace? It's fine. I'm sorry. Right. I love you.
At first, when you said that's how much I didn't know when you said Candace, I'm like, wait, Candace from Survivor's joining the show?
That would be interesting. The doctor will see you now. Okay, wrapping up with Rivals 3.
May.
Opposite sex rivals. I'm not surprised after this season that they're terrified of doing any mixed gendered teams.
Can only go up from here.
Your mouth to the MTV God's ears.
We'll say. Seems like a decent cast, but we'll have to...
Who's the cast? I feel like you and I have neglected to look at who the cast is.
Well, now I'm like you're throwing these names out. I'm like remembering them. Like, oh, yeah, they're on this season. Oh, yeah, they're on this season.
Someone has tweeted that it's like pretty much stacked for Bananas, which, look, if I'm Bananas, I'm going to negotiate like enough of this bullshit where I'm like the last veteran standing. It's Camilla, Nani, Bananas. It's like it's basically like a bit Leroy. And there are a couple other people who are all.
But Nicole's on it too,
okay,
right?
That's like, so yeah. They all have questionable ties to Bananas and they're all in different teams. Well, I think who's with Vinny?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Nicole? No, shit. No,
Nicole, right? Oh, didn't we say? Oh, no,
We saw.
Crap, I don't remember. Oh my Kellyanne? God. We've been told Kellyanne's like so many times that I can never remember.
Maybe
no, I'm not
Nicole.
Kellyanne.
Maybe it's Nicole.
Wait, so who's Nicole with?
I thought there was like someone. I have the Wikipedia up, so I like really should look. So it's Vince, Nicole, and Jamie are back. And then Kellyanne is with Jamie. Okay, so Nicole and Vince are probably paired up. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're stupid. I'm more excited for Rivals. I think it's going to be much more consistent, much easier to watch. On another note, congratulations to Madison and Tony, as you said, who birthed their baby Tattison, Harper Reigns. And you know what? They seem to...
Wait a minute. Their name is actually Tattison?
Whose name is Harper Reigns, who is actually hella cute. And I will say that I followed him on Snapchat for the purpose of the podcast. And he tweeted a really disturbing snap of like Madison's chest and said like, got milk. And I was like, she just gave birth. Are you fucking kidding me?
Tony.
Tony's amazing. They were also watching the challenge from the hospital the other night, which is great. No judgment. And so the most sincere congratulations from me to them. And they seem to be trying to make it best work, which luck. I have a lot of respect for them. So good job. Speaking of jobs,
good job by you.
Someone who I should really pull up, and while I'm looking this up, I'll pull up their name, posted a link to an article in the International Business Times of people of the challengers jobs prior to this season. Which is always an extremely important thing to me. I'd like to share a couple of things with you. But I first want to... it was Derek Boucher. So, as you might imagine, a lot of these descriptions are absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to skip to the best ones. Oh, Mitch. My boy Mitch. Now... For anyone who watches The Bachelor, who watched Andy Dorfman's season of The Bachelorette, she was a district attorney who had a great job and gave it all up to get her hair done in New York. Mitch writes, or about Mitch, it's written, the challenge puzzle champion just graduated from University of California, Berkeley with a degree in economics and is considering returning to school to get his MBA. He's currently on the job market and says he's about to relocate to Los Angeles with Corey. If entertainment falls in my lap, I'm down with doing more entertainment. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to put my degree to work, he said. Do not pursue entertainment, Mitch. I say this as your biggest fan. Go back to school. Dear God, Johnny Bananas, when he's not hamming it up for the cameras, Johnny spends time traveling to see his girlfriend. Literally, the first sentence of his occupation is traveling to see his girlfriend. Based in Southern California, he frequently travels to visit her in Tahoe. For work, Johnny has a clothing line and sold-out bobblehead. Quote, it has done really well over the past couple of years, and I'm amazed every day at how many people actually want to buy things with my name and likeness and logo on it, he said. Johnny has plans to make a baby clothes in the future, per fans' request. Thank God. You Big ready news. For Vince? Two sentences.
What's he failing Here we at? Go.
Number one. Since getting out of college, he's worked as an entrepreneur, period. Two, the self-classified, quote, reserved contestant likes to spend his free time with two dogs going to the beach. End of story.
That's what he's doing with his life?
Hell
of a life he's leading.
That's pretty much it. I mean, Nani is relocating to Chicago to be with her boyfriend. I don't know who that is. Nicole is a bartender at a strip club. Respect. And Kellyanne's a yoga teacher. And you can go to the International Business Times to check out that. But I've got to tell you, I read you the highlights.
go check it out if you're interested.
That's all I have.
You won the fantasy league. Congratulations to you.
Are you tracking vomit or is it only vomit because of alcohol?
Yeah, okay, it's from alcohol. We did have 3 5-star reviews from Scooch 12, Nathan Deacon.
I love you.
And OMAC 3905.
I like that I can whisper and it comes off as a whisper. I'm whispering.
It comes out really loud, too.
You guys rule. Woohoo!
That'll put a bow on the season.
Are you going to miss me? God. Tell everyone how much you're going to miss me.
I'm going to miss you so much. I'm going to stalk
you. That actually sounded sincere. I was going to be like, more sincere, but that actually felt like it came from the heart. How the hell did we talk for 2 hours about this shit show?
You tell me. May 2016. Rivals 3. Be subscribed at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute. Follow you.
At Lash Tweets.
Signing off for 3 months, probably.
Thanks,
maybe
everyone,
not,
for hanging with us. You the best.
Bye. Have a good one.